Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.org.
Awesome. We are picking up our, I don't even know where we are in this series. I think we're at week like four, maybe, of our series that we're calling Joshua. And it's been interesting, because as I've been kind of thinking about this a little bit, Hasn't it kind of been amazing how Joshua is, as we've been studying this, there's a sense in which a lot of it's about Joshua, but really it's about God, isn't it? I mean, really it's about God and what he's been doing. And I wanted to just kind of share that on the front end of this message, because I was like, I mean, you know, we can so get sucked into looking and studying about a guy or a girl from the Bible. And so it's like we start to think and learn from them, and we start to hold these people oftentimes in way too high of regard, not because of anything, not in the sense of like high regard, like that's bad, just high regard, like it's because of what they did that really made stuff happen. Most of these people are actually crazy sinners, right? Messed up families, brokenness up the yin yang. I mean, just bad, right? And ultimately, it's when you kind of start studying from these characters from the Bible, oftentimes what you find is actually, it's just this continual focus on God and what he's doing in spite of their brokenness, in spite of their sin, in spite of their failures. And as we're kind of walking through Joshua, there's these glimpses of some really cool moments for sure. But there's also this constant underlying main character called God. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about, man, that's really the same for our lives, isn't it? It shouldn't be this main character of you or me. The main character is God. And it's always this studying of essentially, what is he up to? What is he doing? What is he promising? What is he commanding? What is he, blah, 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 what is he? God, like focusing in on him. Keeping our eyes up and letting that change us, that we then look back out to the people around us. And last week I dropped the hammer, didn't I? I felt like last week I dropped the hammer on you guys. Man, that is a tough text, the sin of Achan. If you haven't listened to the message, I'd encourage you to jump online and listen to it. Because honestly, I got done and I thought it was a really bad message. But I've heard some feedback from some people where actually it was a message that kind of, I think, helped shape some people. And honestly, I didn't think it was that great of a message. I actually walked away thinking, I kind of bombed that one. And then I get some feedback, and that's kind of sometimes how God works. But I dropped the hammer around sin. And the one thing I just wanted to clarify, just to make double sure that you heard this, is that if in that moment when I'm dropping the hammer, like sin needs to be dealt with, right? Sin needs to be dealt with. I was primarily talking to the Christians in the room. So that was not a message to be like, look at all those people over there. No, 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 no. It was like, what's the sin that you need to deal with in your life, because that sin is spilling over into other people's lives. And according to biblical teaching, that takes place, that kind of let's deal with it, takes place in the camp, in the community. And so actually last week, if you're an atheist or you don't believe in God, it was actually a great week to be here, because I wasn't coming after you. I was actually coming at the Christian. Does that make sense? I don't know if anybody caught that or not, but I wanted to make sure that that was super clear. Because sometimes those kind of messages can get kind of like, the unchristian, those people need taken care of. No, actually, according to our 1 Corinthians 5 text, the Apostle Paul says, no, that's a different situation. I'm talking about the brother or the sister in the community where sin isn't dealt with. That's where we need to take care of that. It's that serious. That was the sin of Achan, right? And that's what the text was kind of leading us to. Okay, anyway, that's my little 5 minute, that was my first 5 minute sermon. Unbelievable, Seth. Classic Seth here. What I want to do is read from this text, and now I can't, Come on, baby. I got to find my sermon here, folks. But I want it here because I want to make sure I got my notes just the way I want them here. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Unbelievable. In the name of Jesus, get behind me, technology. Joshua 21, check it out. Here it is, verse 43. Thus the Lord gave to Israel all the land that he swore to give to their fathers. And they took possession of it, and they settled there. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their fathers. Not one of all their enemies had withstood them, for the Lord had given all their enemies into their hands. Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. Every single one of them came to pass. Let's pray. Lord, please be with us in this moment. Be with us in this time. We want to hear from you. Help Seth Kunze to kind of disappear. God, that you would just kind of shine forth. God, that we would hear your words. Please speak clearly now to us, not into our ears only, but into our hearts. Change us. Change us, God. Make us new. Transform us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you guys ever had one of those days where you get to the end of the day and you're just like, you've gone all day long and you just get to the end and you just crash? Like, you just crash. You're just toast. You're just done. Like, you just, when you get down on, when you sit on that couch, you're like, even if the house was burning down, I don't think I'd move. You know, you're just toast. I can remember some of those days when I worked on a Christmas tree farm up in Wisconsin. And I don't know why I'm saying this, because it wasn't like the worst, but it definitely sticks out to me, and for some reason I couldn't shake it. But as I was working on this Christmas tree farm, and if you guys have never worked on a Christmas tree farm before, they're terrible. They're the worst. Because there's millions of them, like a billion Christmas trees on these Christmas tree farms. And in the springtime, we'd actually have to do some shearing. So we'd have to shear them and keep them looking good and give them shape. And so we'd come out and cut the new growth off. And so they'd literally give you a knife. It was about this long, okay? And it was probably this long of the blade. And then there's, you know, a little handle on it with, and it's pretty light, pretty lightweight, but really sharp. And what you would do is you'd come up to a Christmas tree, and I was thinking, I should have had a Christmas tree here, but Christmas trees are really hard to find right now. But you'd have a Christmas tree, and you'd just come up to it, and that's all you'd do is you'd walk around this Christmas tree, and you'd just go like this. Man, this is bringing back terrible memories. And you just go all the way around the tree, you just walk backwards, and you just probably hit it 8 times or whatever it is, and you cut the new growth off that Christmas tree. That's what you did. And it wasn't that big of a deal when you did like 2 Christmas trees. But there's a billion of them. And so literally, you just walk around tree after tree after tree. And I know you guys think it's always winter in Wisconsin, but it's not. It's not. It's hot. It's humid. It's the worst up there too, just like everywhere else. And so you're walking around and you're just sweating. And you get done with a tree and you're like, this tree looks pretty good. Then you look down and it's just rows and rows and rows of trees. And I can't tell you, like, I get done working on this Christmas tree farm. I get done in the day and I just like walk back to the three-wheeler because I live pretty close. Jump on the three-wheeler, drive home, ride all the way home. And just, I was done. I was just done. And if you guys have done physical labor, anybody ever bale hay before? Those are another, yeah, okay, the three of us, we should talk. We'll talk after. We got to support each other. Man, hay baling, that's like the worst. That is the worst job out there. It's just crazy. But you get done with some of those days where it's either manually super like tasking or your brain is just fried because you've been staring at a computer all day or whatever it might be, and you're just done. You're just done. Our text today is actually the people of God entering into the promised land. Entering into the promised land. And this is kind of a tough, it's kind of tough to preach this because I'm literally preaching like 10 chapters here, okay? And if you go read through this section, like chapter 13 through like chapter 21-ish, what you'll see is it reads kind of like almost like a real estate kind of thing, like documents, Okay? You're going to get this. Here's the boundary. Here's what you get. Here's what you get. Here's what you get. But ultimately, what they're doing is they're dividing up the land. And I actually have a picture here of Israel at this time, the land of Canaan, okay? And if you kind of can see this, there's 12 different allotments of land. They're being divided up between God's people, between the 12 tribes. Now, it's a little confusing, as, you know, if you kind of are watching, but most of you won't even know anyway, but like Levi, the tribe of Levi isn't up there. Well, that's because the Levites were going to be priests, and they're not actually given land, okay? But that's because who else you don't see up here as one of the tribes is Joseph. Well, Joseph gets split up into two, his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Do you see where it says East Manasseh and West Manasseh? Okay, but Manasseh is actually one tribe, and Ephraim, he's another tribe. Do you see that one there in the middle? Okay, nobody's seeing this. This is the worst map maybe. But do you see that right in the middle there where it says Ephraim? That's going to be one of the tribes. So there's 12 of them, okay, that God is basically beginning to give now. If, as you've been following this series, he's now giving the land to his people that have been promised all the way back to a guy named Abraham, right? Hundreds and hundreds of years earlier, God had promised to Abraham, this will be your descendants' land. And now the people of God come out of Egypt. They cross the Red Sea. They wander around for 40 years. That was, we've been talking about that. They cross the Jordan River. They cross right here. Check this out. Boom. They cross right here. See Jericho? They cross right there on the Jordan River. They come into Jericho, and then God basically has them go on to a military spree. So they go in, and they start to take the land. And what essentially Joshua does is Joshua cuts right in the middle. He cuts the middle, kind of gets all that middle ground. Then he does a southern conquest of the land, and he goes in and he attacks and basically takes over a bunch of people in the south. And then as he focuses to the north, this is what stands out to me. If you jump to Joshua chapter 11, look at this. Joshua chapter 11. Okay, so he's taken the middle ground. He's taken the south, military genius, by the way. Okay, military genius. Cuts them right in half, works on half of them, and then he starts to move to the north to take them. But this is what happens. Check this out. Chapter 11, verse 1. When Jabin, king of Hazor, heard of this, the south being conquered, he sent to Jobab, king of Madon, and to the king of Shimron, these are kings in the north, and to the kings of Akshath, and to the kings who were in the northern hill country, and in the Arabah south of Chinnereth, and in the lowland, and in Naphath Dor on the west, to the Canaanites in the east, and the west, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites in the hill country, and the Hivites under Hermon in the land of Mizpah, and they came out with all their troops, a great horde in number like the sand that is on the seashore, with very many horses and chariots, and all these kings joined their forces and came and encamped together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. They're mustering everybody from the north. And they're like, man, we see what they're doing. We know what's up. And now we're going to go right at them. And whether or not these guys had alliances beforehand or not, all their disputes, all their fighting and infight, all that gets to the side. And they're like, if we don't take care of this Joshua dude, we're in trouble. And they bring them all together. And they come right for Joshua and his people. I want to ask you this morning, do you feel like everything is against you? Like, are you in a place? This message isn't for everybody, by the way. So if you want to get up and get a donut or something, go ahead. Listen, do you feel this morning like everything is against you? Like you just can't catch a break. Like you shear one tree, okay, that's good, get that baby done. And you look and there's like 50 more in the row. Like, you just have one thing coming after you, and another thing coming after you, and another thing coming after you, and another thing coming after you, and you just can't catch a break. Like, it just feels like wave after wave after wave of hardship, of frustrating thing, as, just, the, and it starts to, is anybody just tired? That's what I'm really trying to get. That's the heart of today's. Who's tired? You're just shot. You're exhausted. You just, everything that comes your way, pop, 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 pop. Health stuff, another bill in the mail. The hip just keeps, it just hurts. The foot, the knee, the body. Not looking at anybody. You know, that's, it just keeps coming. And it doesn't seem like there's any kind of rest. Literally, Joshua, this is what he's feeling. They've had some victories. They've done some pretty cool stuff. The walls of Jericho have fallen down. They've taken the city of Ai. They've done a lot of cool. The walls of the waters of the Jordan River separated. Cool stuff has happened, sure. But it's just like boom, 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 boom. And now another thing, and now another thing. And now the entire north is coming after him. They just, when will it be done? When is it over? Anybody feeling that this morning? It just doesn't go away. Like some of you kids, you ever have like a friend? You ever have a friend who maybe does something to you that wasn't very kind? And then they do it again, and they do it again. And they're just kind of mean, whether it be at school or maybe it's at the swimming pool. Some of you kids, we struggle with this. Like, it's like, man, mom, it just seems like they're always trying to pick on me. It seems like they're always doing this to me. Maybe it's in relationships. You just can't get away from the fighting. It just keeps coming. It gets exhausting, doesn't it? Just get tired. I just get so tired of every time we're together just fighting and fighting and fighting. Can't, you know, I just got the guy broke up with me, and now what am I going to do? I mean, it just seems like I can't. I break up with them. They break up with me. That continues to happen. What do I do there? We just find out we can't have kids. Or it's struggling to have kids. What do I do? Submitted my application for this job. I've got my application out to 100 different people. Can't land something. I don't know what it is for you today. I don't know what it is, but I feel like there's some folks who are just exhausted. You're just shot. You're just tired. Just shot. And it's just row after row after row, and it just looks like there's hundreds and hundreds more Christmas trees. It's a nightmare for me. These things can just absolutely drain you. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking of Ephesians 6, verse 12. You know, and I'm definitely kind of moving, making a kind of move here to us and not placing us right directly into the fact that we have to fight against the Canaanites or something. No, we don't. That's not what we're struggling with. But we do struggle with this. Right? We don't have the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and all those people coming after us. But we do struggle against not the flesh and blood, But we actually do struggle against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, the spiritual authorities, the cosmic powers over this present. We do struggle with that. Listen, Satan himself is he is coming at you with everything he has. Your own sin in your heart that comes up at times, it's like, oh, I don't want to do that. That jumps up at you. Death itself is always reminding you that it's around the corner as well. These powers that are against us, they're actually against you. All the forces of everything is just like swarming together, more numerous than the sand on the seashore, and it's coming right after you, and you feel it. You feel it. I don't have to preach this. You know this. If you're there, you already know this. This isn't the message where you need it to be like articulated to you, because you're like, that's where I'm at. I'm right there. I feel that. I feel everything against me. This is why you know if this is for you or not. Satan is coming right after you. What do we do? What's God's plan? What's God's plan? Well, check this out. Let's go back to the text. Joshua chapter 1. This is the very first verses we read in this series. And we didn't pick up on it then. But look at how this theme plays out. Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. Okay? Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. A conversation between God and Joshua. God tells him this. Be strong and courageous. We talked about that. It was our first sermon. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. What's the plan? To get them the land. That's the plan. What else is the plan? Look at verse 13. Remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest. And we'll give you this land. What's God's plan here? What's God's plan in the book of Joshua? The plan is to get his people the land and rest that he's promised to them 440-some years earlier to a guy named Abraham. You're going to get the land. You're going to get the land. And here, he's giving them the land. You got to go read this for yourself. We don't have time to unpack it all, okay? I'm not one of those guys that, like, we're going to spend 18 years in the book of Joshua. Not happening. So go do a little digging and a little reading on your own and go check it out, because there's some cool stuff. And a lot of it's just name after name after name after name, which doesn't really stand out to us as anything cool. But when you're one of them and this has been promised to you for hundreds of years, it's like, yeah, that's my place. See, we're not people who get the land thing anymore, do we? I kind of do, actually. I honestly do kind of understand the land thing a little bit. Because, and the reason why I kind of get the land thing is because my dad has a little bit of land. Not a lot, but some hunting ground up in Wisconsin. And so every year we get up there and there's 160 acres and we just hunt it. And it's awesome. We love that piece of property. And it's amazing to me because that property is nothing more special than the property right next to it, right? It's got trees on it. It's got fields on it. It's got... I mean, that's all it is. It's nothing more crazy special. And yet, when I'm there on that land, it feels really special. Do you have that place? Some of you do. Some of you have family connections with some property up in, you know, in Texas or up in, you know, I don't know, Oklahoma. Who knows where? If you have property in Oklahoma, sell that. Get some up in Wisconsin, folks. I'll tell you that right now. No, I'm just kidding. But there's a special place, right? Even if the land's not that but it's special because when you're there, it's like, ah. Even if I were to go up to my dad's property right now, and my dad would be like, hey, we need to go make some wood. Even going out and making wood would feel relaxing. It would feel rejuvenating. It would feel, ah, this is good. I like this. That's how I would feel. even going out with a chainsaw and just making some wood and helping my parents, just cutting some trees down in the woods. Something special about that. And this is what God is giving to the... I've talked to people who've gone to Israel. I haven't been there. But has anybody been to Israel? Anybody? Right here. Okay, is Israel like really worth dying for? Oh, it is? Oh, okay, shoot. My message went down. Okay, maybe it's really beautiful, I guess. When I look at pictures, I'm like, you know, whatever. I'd rather have some property in, like, Wisconsin. But I mean, like, there's something special because this has been promised to them for hundreds and hundreds of years. And as I'm thinking about this, why is God doing this? Joshua 21, verse 44, check it out. Joshua 21. So I'm literally skipping to the back here of Joshua. Chapter 21, verse 44 says this. Look at this. Just beautiful. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their fathers. Not one of all their enemies had withstood them, for the Lord had given all their enemies into their hands. Jumped with me to 23, verse 1, if you have your Bibles. A long time afterward, when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their surrounding enemies. What's God doing as he's having them take the promised land? What's he doing? As he has them go through struggles and trials and pains and brokenness and hardships and suffering, what's he doing in that? Here's the recipe. The recipe is this. Here's what God's doing. God is getting you to see that when he's at work, good stuff happens. And God is getting you to see that when you try to make stuff happen, often bad stuff happens. Do you get that? This is why it always goes back to him. That's what we see as we read through this. We see time after time, Achan stepping up, doing what he thinks needs to be done. Joshua, go read it. We don't have time to get there. Joshua making a mistake and trying to make something happen with the Gibeonites. Doesn't work out for him. Time after time, as you read through, God getting his people to trust in him. That's what it's always been about. That's what the wandering in the desert is for. Get rid of the old generation. Let's get a generation who's going to trust in me. That's what all of this has been about. That's what it's about for you and for me, folks. God wants to get, here's the plan for your life. God wants to give you rest. He wants to give you the land. The promised land. That's for you and for me. He wants that for you. And right now, if you're looking at all the trees, you're like, it sure doesn't feel like that. What is that? What is that for? What is God doing in that? He's getting you to trust in him. He's having you die. Oh, man. He's having you die to yourself. It's all about him. To focus in on him. That's not easy. That's not easy. But that's what he's, and he wants rest for you. Look at Matthew 11, 28. What does Jesus say? See, the land becomes something different for us. It's no longer the land of Canaan. No. This is heaven. This is the new creation. Heaven on earth. That you and I get to be part of, who have faith in Jesus, where we'll live in it for all of eternity. This promised land for us, it starts to shift a little bit because that's something to come. But even now, what does Jesus say? There is rest in me. Come to you who are heavy laden, who are burdened, who have the millions of trees in front of you, and it just feels like another one, and I gotta go to the next one. It just feels like more and more and more, and all of the north is against you. Come to me if you're heavy laden, if you're burdened. I will give you rest. That's what God wants for you. He wants rest. He wants to give you the land. This is what he did for us in Jesus on the cross. He went to the cross and died for you and for me. He rose victoriously from the grave to defeat sin, to defeat the devil, to defeat death itself for us, guys. I love how Peter in 1 Peter talks about it. This is kind of to end us off here. 1 Peter chapter 5. If you're in incredible suffering today, I'd encourage you to go through 1 Peter. 1 Peter in the New Testament talks most succinctly about suffering than any other New Testament book. You got to go check out 1 Peter if you're down in the pits, okay? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 says this, "And after you have suffered a little while," now he's been talking about suffering for the past 5 chapters, "after you have been suffering for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore you, confirm you, strengthen you, and establish you." I love that. Go check out 1 Peter 1, verse 6 sometime. He wants to give you rest. And you can already have that, and it is also to come. You follow me there? You follow that? It's already and not yet. That's really important. That's really important because you hold to that then by faith. It's already in Christ. I can have rest. But as there's still turmoil and stuff going on in my life, there's also a not yetness to it. And though I'll be suffering for a little while, oh baby, here it comes. The land. The promised land. See, when you start to actually look at the story of the Israelites, you'll find that it's actually our story too. It's our story too. What, you don't think you were captive to Egypt? No, not Egypt, but sin, death, the powers of darkness. You don't think you've walked through the Red Sea? Well, those of you who have been baptized, you know you have. You've walked through and the enemy was crushed. Well, you don't think you've walked around the wilderness for 40 years? What do you think you're doing right now? Wandering in circles after circles after circles. You don't think you'll cross the Jordan River someday? You don't think you'll cross over and close your eyes in death? But Jesus is saying, even when you close your eyes in death, you'll live and enter into the promised land that's been given to you. And such a greater promised land. Heaven on earth. Baby. I know I opened somebody's eyes just now. That's not just the story of them. It's the story of us. It's what God has been doing for thousands of years, and he's still doing today. That's cool. And he will get you into the promised land. And that's the cool part, is he's already working that baby out for you and for me, going there to prepare a place for us. That's awesome. That's awesome. I know I need that. I know I need that, and I hold to that by faith. And I pray that you do too. Let me pray for us today. Lord Jesus, this message is one that I think just a few people needed to hear. Some people are just tired. They're just shot. They've been wandering and wandering and wandering, and there's just army after army after army against them, and they don't know when it's just going to end. And ultimately, God, you don't promise an end to those kinds of things right now. We may have to suffer some of those things. We do. We pick up our cross and we carry it. We recognize that part of how you are working in our lives is through these things that keep us focused on you and get the focus off of us. God, you are the one who ends up kind of emerging as the main character. In so many ways, it's not about Joshua at all. It's about you fulfilling every single promise you've ever given to your people. Holy smokes, God, help us to receive that today. Promise after promise after promise. The promises that we can have right now, a peace that surpasses understanding. You're with us always. You're never going to leave us or forsake us. Where there's forgiveness in my name is forgiveness of sins that's removed from the east as far as from the west. I mean, it's just promise after promise. Boom, 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 boom. And then there's also promises that we get to have yet still to come. We literally get to be in the new creation in heaven for all of eternity with you. We get that. Not because of anything we've done. Because you've defeated the northern kingdom. Because you've defeated Egypt. Because you've taken on sin, death, and the devil for us. Thank you, God, for that. And that's where we are today. Right now in that moment. Focusing on you, Jesus. Receiving from you everything you have for us, your good gifts. Strengthen, establish, confirm somebody in here today, God, who needs that. Please, God, give them that right now today, that they might know that you are near and that you have better things for them to come. Someday we jump on the three-wheeler and we just go home. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. Trust in you. We surrender those people who need this message today to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me leave you with that blessing. May our God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you. May he confirm you. May he strengthen you. May he give you everything you need for this coming week. Go with peace and joy in your heart. He's going to give you the promise. He's going to hook you up with the promised land. In peace. Amen. Thanks, guys. Have a great week. You're awesome.